John chapter number 14. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Let's read the scripture together. If you'll follow along, I'll read out loud John 14, verse 1. We are focusing in and have for some time now. This is our fifth sermon. I'm preaching a series on Sunday mornings entitled The I Ams of the Gospel of John. The I Ams. We're going to have a good time this morning. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what precious, precious words. Lord, how many times have we gone to John chapter number 14 and read these opening verses? Lord, in times of trouble, in times of grief, in times of sorrow, and received help and comfort. Thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord. Thank you for your proclamation, this I am in John 14:6. I pray, Lord, that we'll rightly divide the Bible this morning. Lord, that you'll help us as we preach. Now, Lord, what a blessing, Lord. It's a humbling thing to stand up here, look across this auditorium, and see the number of folks that have come. And, Lord, certainly they have come to hear from you. So I pray, Lord, as we preach the Word of God, that you would communicate truth to each and every one, give to each one what they need today. Lord, may we all receive in the course of the message a blessing or many blessings, those things that we need, Lord, just to go forward and upward in our Christian life. We pray, Lord, as the Gospels preach, that if there's one without Christ, Lord, you would, in your sweet wooing way, bring them, Lord, to a saving knowledge of yourself. Thank you again for all we've experienced this morning. Bless the message now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. As I mentioned a minute ago, this is the fifth sermon in our series on the I Ams of the Gospel of John. Jesus used this little phrase, this word, this Greek assertive. In the Greek, it would be I me. That's what how I am would appear in the Greek. I me. He used this as a declaration of his deity. Let me review with you just a second. Every Jewish man, woman, and child was taught the story of Moses and the burning bush. Let me read that account to you out of Exodus. And Moses said unto God, notice this, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Every time Jesus used this phrase, it sent a message to the Jewish people. Every time Jesus used this phrase, he was proclaiming his deity. Every time he used this phrase, it incensed the Pharisees and Sadducees. They did not want to accept him as their Messiah. Jesus said, I am He. When he said, I am He was saying, I exist. By saying that, he was saying, I am the one without beginning. I am the one without ending. I am the one who self-exists. I am the God that spoke out of that burning bush to Moses. I'm the one who transcends time and eternity. I'm the one who created all things. I'm the only, and I am the one by whom all things consist. Jesus was saying, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the Almighty, Everlasting, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, Eternal God. And we have seen that Jesus exists for us by studying the I Ams as the Eternal God. We also studied and saw that Jesus exists for us as the Living Bread. He self-exists as the door to the sheepfold and as the Good Shepherd. Last Sunday we saw that Jesus was that true vine in whom we must abide if we're going to produce fruit in our Christian life. Now this morning we want to examine a threefold I am, found in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, if we're going to properly interpret this, then there's some background information we need to consider. Where was Jesus when he said these words, and to whom was he speaking? Would you glance back at the previous chapter, John chapter number 13? In verse 1 it says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put to the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, without reading and studying the entire chapter, let me break down where we're at and who Jesus was speaking to. Jesus had sequestered himself into the upper room with his 12 disciples. They had just experienced what we experienced a few minutes ago in remembrance. He instituted that day the Lord's Supper. He passed around some bread. The disciples partook of that. He passed around a cup of juice, and the disciples partook of that. This is what we did in reenactment this morning. Jesus asked us to remember this. So he's meeting alone with 12 men, 12 disciples. In the verses that follow, we see that after he instituted the Lord's Supper, the Bible said he took off of him his outer garments. He got down into what would be considered servant's clothes. It'd be kind of like some of us men, you know what, if we took off our white shirts and had our working t-shirts on, we were getting ready to go to work. He became a servant. Then the Bible says he took a towel and he girded himself and he took some water and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. Notice there's just 12 men here. After he does this, he foretells, predicts his betrayal. And Judas, at that point, leaves the upper room to go and betray Jesus Christ. Are you with me so far? I'm trying to get us into the moment where he was when he spoke these words. After Judas left, it was time to have a serious talk with those 11 disciples that were left. See, many of them were still under the impression that they were going to follow Christ. And you know what? There was going to be a day when he was going to take the throne of Israel and become the reigning Messiah and free Israel from Roman rule. And Jesus looked at them and said, I want you to understand something. And by the way, this isn't the first time he tried to communicate this to them. You know, a lot of times, folks, when God's trying to speak to us, it takes several attempts before we'll listen to what he's trying to say to us. But what he was saying to those 11 disciples, he said plainly in this chapter. He said, you know what? It's time for me to be given over. It's time for me to die. No, you're not going to rule and reign with me here on this earth. I didn't come to set up a kingdom. I come to die for the sins of all mankind. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm going to do. He even went on to tell them that they would forsake him. And of course, Peter wanted to argue about that. And Jesus had to look at Peter and said, you know what? Before morning, or the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And, oh, no, I won't. But Jesus made it plain. He was heading to the cross. He was heading to Calvary. His mission was not to reign at this point. By the way, there is going to be a day when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns as the King of the world. But right now, he was coming to die for the sins of the world. Now, this message begins to sink in. You can imagine these 11 men who followed Jesus and listened to him and were discipled by him, and many of them believing that they were being prepared to rule and reign with him on earth. All of a sudden, the realization of what he was saying sinks in, and they begin to be downcast and disturbed. I don't know if we can get ourselves into that moment. None of us has ever forsaken everything and attached ourselves to the Savior and followed him around for 3 years continually. And you know what? I think we would probably be shocked how dependent they had become upon Jesus Christ. The idea of life without Christ, without Him being there, walking with Him, talking with Him, listening to Him. I mean, folks, they ate together, they rested together, they worked together, they traveled together. This was their life for 3 years. All of a sudden, He's saying, I'm leaving you. And their hearts begin to be very troubled. Now that brings us to John chapter 14, verse number 1. Jesus is speaking these words to 11 disciples in the upper room. And He said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I'm not going to preach this morning, but let me just give you a real quick outline. I believe in these verses, there is a wonderful formula for a troubled heart. I don't know why the Lord's having me say this morning, but maybe there's somebody in here that honestly, your heart is troubled. You know what God says? Let not your heart be troubled. And then He gives us three reasons, three cures for a troubled heart. If you have a troubled heart this morning, let me just give them to you. Number one, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that you're going through, nothing you're facing, that with Jesus Christ you can't come out on top. Keep your faith in Christ strong. Believe in Jesus Christ. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let me give you number two in the formula for a troubled heart. Believe in heaven. Believe in heaven. Aren't you glad that there's a heaven? I mean, on the worst of the worst of the worst days when it seems like everything is going crazy and your life's crumbling around you, you know what you can think? We're here for a pretty short time. Folks, aren't you glad this isn't all there is? I mean, listen, you know what? There's nothing you're going through right now that 100 years from now is going to make much difference at all. 100 years from now, there's nothing you're going through right now. 100 years from now, it's not going to seem like that much. You know why? Because there's a place. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That place is heaven. Man, I'm glad there's a heaven. I'm 47 years old. You know what I figured out? You don't live forever. Man, when I was 20, I thought I'd always be 20. When I was 25, I thought I'd always be 25. When I was 30, I thought I'd always be 30. I can't imagine being really old like 70. I can't even hardly absorb something like that, you know. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what? The farther down the journey you go, I think the more clearly heaven comes into focus in your heart, in your mind. And you know what? You understand songs like, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. All of the things that seem to have so much of a pull and an attachment on your life, you know what? They just keep dimming and dimming and dimming. And aren't you glad that there's a heaven? Young couples, I know you're at that time, and sometimes what's here and now seems so powerful and so important, but you know what? You're going to blink once, blink twice, blink a few more times, and you're going to find out this life is a vapor that appeareth but a short time and vanisheth away. Thank God that this veil of tears is not all that there is. Thank God that there's a heaven. Thank God that, listen, I'm talking about a real place. I'm talking about a real place. Listen, get this out of your mind of a bunch of clouds floating around and angels sitting on them playing harps. That's, I don't know who thought of that, but it wasn't God. He's talking about streets. He's talking about buildings. Read about heaven. He's talking about trees and fruit on the trees. I'm talking about a real place where we walk and we visit. We go from house to, mansion to mansion. And there's angels there and there's the presence of the Lord. And we don't have to worry about nighttime because there's no night there. And there's no hospitals. There's no funeral homes. There's no doctors. And even better yet, there's no doctor bills. Glory to God. That's got to be heaven right there. I mean, no matter what's wrong and how horrible it may seem right now, folks, honestly, I promise you this. It's just going to be a few, Jesus said, just a little while, just a little while, just a little while. That's how He referred to this life, a little while. And you know what? If you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior. Man, we've got a whole eternity ahead of us in a place. So believe in Jesus Christ, believe in heaven, and don't forget this, believe in the rapture. In verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I said I wasn't going to preach that, but I got so excited I got beside myself there. The saddened disciples heard these words of divine comfort. Jesus said to them, I know that you're disturbed by what I'm telling you, but keep your faith in me. Believe in me. Believe in heaven. Believe in the rapture. I'm going to come back. And he gave them some comfort there, some help for their troubled hearts. Then Jesus reminds them that in a short time they'll be with him again. And that, notice this, they know where he is going and they know how to get there. Look at verse 4. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. You know, I said this to one of our seniors one time. I said, you know what? You know more than you realize you know. You know, those of you that sit week in, week out at Blessed Hope Baptist Church under the preaching of God's Word, you probably know more than you realize that you know. Jesus was saying, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And you know what he was saying? He was saying, I've given you the information. I've taught you. And you know what? All the information you have, it's in there, and the Holy Spirit's going to illuminate it as you need it. I have prepared you for this moment. You know more than you think you might know. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. And Thomas, real quickly, and you know what? Thomas is like all of us. You know, so many times when God's trying to teach us spiritual things, we try to comprehend them with the natural man, and that never works. That keeps us confused. So Thomas shoots back in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, I'm going to say this. Jesus wouldn't have said, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know, if Thomas didn't know. But you know what? Sometimes instead of stopping and thinking, we just want a quick answer. We want him to remind us. You ever did that with your kids? Mom, how do you do this again? You know how to do it. I know, but instead of thinking, I just want you to give it to me again. Instead of trying to remember, teacher, could you help me with this problem? You know how to do this. I know, but I would have to think. Would you just walk me through it? And Jesus said, okay, Thomas. I'll walk you through it. And then he says this. Jesus saith unto him, said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can we just enjoy these three I ams for a little bit this morning? See, Jesus then reminds them, by the way, when he was talking to them, he was talking to his disciples. Boy, that's important. He's not trying to lead lost people to the Lord. He's trying to give comfort and help to people that he is going to leave on this earth who still have a portion of their life to live before they come up and they're with him in heaven, or until he comes back and gets them. These three I ams are Christian I ams. They're for Christian people. I'm going to show you that that's true. What's Jesus say first of all? Number one, he says, I am the way. I am the way. If you looked at the Greek, it would be two words. Eimi hodos. I exist as the way. What he's saying is this. I exist as your road. That word way means a road. You know what he's saying to the Christian here? He's not trying to get someone to accept him as Savior. He's trying to tell them how they're going to make it from where they're at to one of these days to this place where he's going to get, how they're going to manage the rest of the journey. How they're going to do it. He said, you're going to do it because I'm the road. I want to be the path. He was saying, I want to be the path you walk each day. I do not just want to be your Savior. I want to be your journey between here and heaven. I want to guide you and direct you every waking hour between salvation and glorification. He said this, I am the way, I'm the road. What he was saying was this, follow me. Follow me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we read these words, enter ye at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Watch this though. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the W-A-Y way. Notice this. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I think once what we need to be reminded here as Christians is this. Jesus, we already learned when we studied the I am the door, we know he's the door of the gate. But sometimes once we're saved, we forget that he didn't just want to be the door or the gate. He wanted to be the path. He wanted to be the way after we're saved. Let me encourage you to not just let Jesus save you, but to let Jesus guide you. Let me encourage you to allow Jesus to help you find your way and keep you on the narrow path. Listen, He's there for you. He didn't just save you and say, good, wrote your name in the book of life. Good, hey, see you when you get to heaven. He said, I saved you and I will come beside you and I will commune with you and I will walk with you and I will lead you and I will guide you and I want to be that road. I want to be your road. I want to help you. You ever gotten off that road? You got lost a little bit? I'm not talking about somebody losing their salvation. I don't believe that for one minute. But I think after we walk through that door, that gate, and we receive Christ, sometimes we get off the road. It's deer hunting time. Somebody say amen. Brother Reiser killed a buck. Nice buck. Nice buck. I wish he'd let it grow up first, but I'm kidding. It was a good buck. I can't wait till he gets it mounted so that I can take it and take his rack and stick it inside of mine and bang it around in my office, you know. So I was thinking of getting off the path. Years ago, David bought 50 acres over in Wilford. And for a while, he kept that and he ended up selling it. And we deer hunted on it for a few years. And you remember this, but Tim Bryan came down one time. We were going to take Tim. Me and David went out there and we'd set up stands and all of this. Well, we got out there and the woods was still kind of unfamiliar to me. But there was a trail, there was a path. Me and Tim got out of the vehicle and we followed David to his stand to make sure he got up in it all right. Now, folks, all I would have had to do was turn around, follow the path down to the edge of the cornfield. There was another clear path. We had even taken those reflector tacks and put it so that we could find where the stands were. But I was at David's stand and I started to walk back, and walking that way was going to cost me more time. And I looked over at Tim and I said, you know what? Let's cut across and we'll catch the path on ahead. And it was pitch black. But I got off the path. And I started out the direction that I thought was the right direction. Remember that verse? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. I thought that was the way I was on. And this poor guy's not from here. I had him a wonderful stand. We had scattered it out. There were bucks crossing there. I had a great place planned out to hunt. All we had to do was get there. We were early. We were fine. We'd have got up there. The woods would have woke up. The deer would have started moving. We had a huge chance of killing some nice bucks that morning, but I told him, just follow me. So, you know how you get to that place, if you've ever been there, where you kind of know that you're probably not on the path, but you're a man? All of the ladies are shaking their head. I don't know why they seem to understand that. So what you do is, with renewed confidence, you plow forward in a direction you know not what of. You know, you just keep going, but you walk more confidently. You know, yeah, it's right up here. It can't be far. And we kept going and going and going. I realized we should have already found that trail I was going to intercept, and we hadn't. So I made a slight adjustment so that I could find it. And just, we wandered for 45 minutes in the pitch black dark. And finally, we got down into this bottom area. And we got into the midst of a bunch of sticker bushes and briars. And finally, I turned around, and Tim's just looking at me like, where are we? And I finally said, you know what? We just need to sit down and wait till the light. Wait till the sun comes up, because I honestly don't know where we're at. And there I am, sitting on opening morning of deer season, when I should be in my stand, waiting for a huge buck to come by. I'm in the middle of a briar patch. And by the way, I didn't leave the property. I was on the property. I just wasn't on the path. Are you listening to me, Christian? You know what? You may not leave the property, but you can get off the path. And I had to wait till the light come up and finally figure out where I was and get him to his stand. And we missed probably the first 45 minutes to an hour of opening morning instead of being where we were. I remember sitting in that briar patch thinking, right now underneath my stand, there's probably this huge buck. Buck of a lifetime. And where am I?
I'm in the middle of nowhere, lost, sitting in briars, missing the buck of a lifetime. Listen to me for a minute, Christian. Have you ever been there? You ever been there? Are you sitting there thinking, you know what? Not only am I not where I want to be, but I wonder what's going on where I should have been. All right, listen to me. Can I encourage you to something? Don't just let Christ save you and be your Savior. Let Him be the path. But Brother Jerry, I'm going to take a shortcut. You know what? Shortcuts turn into long cuts more times than not. Well, I know a better way, a quicker way. I don't want to go down that way that He's leading. Remember when we taught on the Good Shepherd? Just get in behind the Good Shepherd and follow. I'm going to tell you, that's a great formula for life. Jesus said, I am the way, follow me. Now, secondly, He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. He says this. What He's saying in that little phrase? Again, He's saying this to disciples. He's saying this to believers. He said, first of all, I'm the way, follow me. The next thing He says is, I am the truth, believe me. Believe me. Jesus was saying, I exist, I self-exist as your truth. Listen to me, Christian. All around us, throughout our life, will be lies and deceit. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. In the course of your Christian life, you're going to hear false gospels and you're going to hear false doctrines. And what Jesus is saying is this, compare everything to me. Compare everything to me. Compare everything to my words. I'm your moral compass. I'm your lie detector. I'm the standard of truth and truthfulness. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus said this, I'm the way, follow me. He said, number two, I'm the truth, believe me. Let me illustrate this. We went to Shelburne yesterday on churchwide visitation. We had six men over there. We were knocking on doors. And there were four men with me, and two of us were going down both sides of the street. We'd done several blocks, and we got down to almost into the street. We had about a block and a half left, and all of a sudden, around the corner, starting at the other end of that street, were some folks, and they were dressed very nicely, and the men were carrying briefcases and the women had some materials. And my first thought was, they're politicking. You know, a few days before the election, somebody's out there saying, vote for me. They're real, dressed real sharp. Now get this. We had just come down a street that's about six blocks long. We've got a block and a half to go. And at every door, we are presenting to the people that come to the door, we're presenting to them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We're giving them the truth. On the same street, starting at the opposite direction, working back towards us, are Jehovah false witnesses. And that's what I always call them. Don't call them Jehovah witnesses. They're Jehovah false witnesses. And we collide. And you say, Brother Gary, did you bid them Godspeed? No, I spit at them. No, I didn't, but I wanted to. Brother Jerry, that's not very nice. You ought to see what the Bible says about false prophets. Listen, folks, listen to me very carefully. Anybody that is telling people that Jesus is not God, Jesus is a created angel. Jesus is just as much a created angel as Satan was a created angel. Anybody that says that there is no hell is a false teacher. So, but think about this. Are you getting this picture? We have just talked to all of these folks. They are talking to some folks we haven't talked to. I mean, there at the end, we literally, me and Brother Townsley, were knocking on doors that had been knocked on less than 2 minutes previous by somebody with a whole different message. You'll see these people's look on their face when they came to the door again. They probably thought, well, these folks got mixed up. They don't realize they already hit our house. I finally just started saying, listen, you just had Jehovah Witnesses come to your door. And they went, yeah. And I said, we're not a Jehovah Witnesses. I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so Brother Don, of course, is going down one side. And what he does is he steals all the material off of their door, you know, that they just left. And that's what any good Baptist should do, amen. Then I was watching them to make sure they weren't stealing our material off the door, you know. Now, do you see this picture? Whether you realize it or not, that's what happens to lost people all the time. And that even is what happens to saved people.
You can have somebody come through and try to give truth, and you know what? It won't be long. It'll be followed by somebody else that's telling them the direct opposite. And you know what Jesus said? That's the way it's going to be. But he said this, disciples, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know what? You can't separate Jesus from this book. Jesus treats himself and calls himself and compares himself to the Scriptures all of the time. Someone once said that Jesus was the living Word and the Scriptures is the written Word. One man once said if you take Jesus and turned him into a book, you'd have the King James Bible. And they said if you took the King James Bible and turned it into a person, you'd have Jesus Christ. That's pretty good, actually. That's pretty good. Now, folks, listen to me. All through your life, you're going to be given a bunch of different opinions, different viewpoints. You're going to hear this on the radio, this on the television set. And from a lot of people that claim to be speaking for God and from God. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you know what? You better compare everything to the truth. Now, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Jesus just said that he did know, so he did. But Jesus has reminded him for the rest of the journey, even though I'm not going because I can still be your way. I can still be the road. I'll walk every step with you. And number two, when you get confused, I'm the truth. Just come and seek truth and you'll find it. So that's the second thing. Number three, this is our last one. Jesus then said this. Well, I like this. He said, I'm the way. Follow me. He said, I'm the truth. Believe me. Then he says this, I am the life. I am the life. Live your life through me. I like this. You know what Jesus was saying? I exist as true life. You know, folks, let me just give you this. There's a difference between existing and living. There's a difference between existing and living. Christian, can I even say this to us that are saved? If you're not careful, you can get a period of your life where you're existing, you're not living. I mean, you're getting up, you're going through the motions. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're traveling, you're working. But Christ is not your life. Now let me clarify that. If you're saved, Christ will always be your eternal life. But He did not just want to give you eternal life. He wanted to give you abundant life. What was Jesus saying here? He's saying, I exist as true life. Thomas, between where you are and where I'm going, you must still live a life. Between salvation and the rapture or salvation and physical death, there is some kind of life you must live. I am that life. Live me. Live through me. John chapter 10. We studied this when we studied I am the door, but let me remind you of it. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And even in that teaching, Jesus saying, listen, I am the door. And if you enter in, you're part of the sheepfold. But then he reminded us that after we enter the door, we still have to go in and out and find pasture. There's a life that we have to live. And Jesus said, listen, I'm not just the door, I'm the good shepherd. Well, he was saying, I'm just not the way to get saved. I'm the way. I also provide you the means so that you know where to go and what to do and how to live. I like this. Salvation gives us eternal life. Surrender gives us abundant life. Salvation gives us eternal life. Surrender gives us abundant life. Can I just throw in an advertisement here? Let me just give you this. I'd like to advertise the Christian life. I'd like to convince you and sell you on the idea that there's no greater life than the Christian life. Christian life. You can be a Christian. You can be saved, but fail to live out the Christian life. Listen, do both. There's no better life than the Christian life. Don't just receive Christ to have eternal life over yonder somewhere. Follow Christ so that you can have abundant life here and now. Heather's here. You're going to Shawnee Baptist College. Let me give you a quick story and we'll wrap it up. The vice president of Shawnee Baptist College is Brother Ricky Moon. Is that right? Is he vice president? Okay.
I don't know how many of you heard about or know about what happened to Brother Ricky Moon several years ago. Let me tell you the story. He was over at the camp. They were having camp week. One of the camp weeks there at Shawnee Baptist Camp. Indian Creek Baptist Camp. They have a climbing wall that they built into their big swimming hole. And he was climbing up that climbing wall and began to have chest pains. And he got down, and then he began to still have chest pains, and they finally just said, "We're not calling an ambulance, throw him in a car," and they headed him right to the hospital. And he says to this day, they saved his life. They got him to the hospital, and about the time they got him to the hospital into the emergency room. It's amazing, folks. Listen, if you'll let God guide you, He'll guide you. His son, another man that was driving, was going to go a greater distance to a different hospital, and God would not let them do it. They went to the closer hospital, and about the time they pulled up and got him in the door, he went into cardiac arrest. They rushed him into emergency room, and they began to take those paddles and shock him. Now, I'm going to tell you this story because Brother Moon told me. By the way, by this time, people from the church, people from the camp began to show up and fill the emergency way and fill the hallways. And you know what they did? They went down on their knees and they began to pray. An emergency room doctor can hear these people praying outside the door of the emergency room. He glances out the window and sees Christians praying. He told Brother Moon later on, he said, "I shocked you once, nothing. I shocked you twice, nothing. I shocked you three times, nothing. I shocked you four times, nothing." He said, "You've got to understand." He said, "I've never gone past four in all my life." He said, "I was about to call it, and I heard those prayers. I said, let's do it again." He said, "I did it again, and I did it a fifth time." And he said, "I don't know why I did it a sixth time." He said, "The people in the room were getting to look at me like, you need to stop this. Watch this." He said, "I could not stop." He shocked Ricky Moon 18 times. And on the 18th time, his heart began to beat. And Ricky Moon, for the last four, I don't know how long this has been, 4 or 5 years ago, I lose track of time, has served the Lord as vice president, won souls, preached all over the country. A miracle. After this happened, it was several months, maybe a year later, we were down at the camp. And I went over and saw Brother Ricky, and I said, "Man, I heard what happened." And he told me the whole story, and I was just. And then and this is kind of off the subject, but afterwards, he got up to preach. And man, if you've ever heard Ricky Moon preach, he only has one speed, and it's flat out preach. Man, he just, and the whole time he's up there just preaching and beating the pulpit, going crazy. I'm thinking, heart attack. He's gonna have a heart attack. I mean, right before then, he's telling me this percentage of my heart's dead and that percentage of my heart's dead, and the doctor says I got to take it easy, and then a few minutes later, and I'm turning red. I'm going, oh, man. I don't know what he preached on. I was just scared to death he was going to keel over the whole time. But he didn't keel over, and he hasn't keeled over, and God gave him extended life. I told you all that whole story to tell you this. I said to him later on, I said, "Brother Moon, I want to ask you a question. How has that changed your life?" And he just began to weep. He said, "Brother Jerry, I thank God. You see," he said this. He looked at me and said, I was dead. By the way, he didn't see any light. He wasn't walking down a long corridor. That's another sermon. Didn't hear any voices saying, "Go back." But listen to me. He said, "I was dead." And he said, for whatever reason, God wouldn't let that doctor alone, for whatever reason, God gave me extended life. He said, "Brother Jerry, my marriage is different. My relationship with my children's different." He said, "I enjoy sunrises. I enjoy sunsets. I take the time to interact with people. I stop and smell the flowers along the way." He said, "Listen to this. I look at every gift, every day, as a gift from God that I get to live." Now, hold that thought. Guess what? Me and you was dead. We were dead. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel, brought us to the place where we were repentant and we were ready to receive Christ, and God gave us eternal life when we got saved. Eternal life. But you know what? Jesus is saying here, I didn't just give you eternal life, something for you to look forward to after you leave this body. I gave you abundant life. You should treat every day as a gift. Every day ought to be different. Listen, salvation ought to change your marriage. Salvation ought to change your relationship. Salvation ought to change the path you walk. Salvation ought to change your desires. Listen, don't just come to Christ and get eternal life. Let Him be your life. That's what Jesus is saying when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to this and I'm done. Jesus is more than the gate. He's the road. Jesus is more than the Savior. He wants to be the Lord. Jesus is more than eternal life. He's abundant life. Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me. I am the truth. Believe me. I am the life. Live your life through me. These are not words for a lost person. These are words for us that are saved.